This is Tim McNally. Welcome to the Dine, Wine, and Spirit Show, NOLA Drinks Edition. Here's your host, Brian Diaz.
All right, everybody, welcome to the show. Brian Diaz here with you. Welcome to the unofficial start of the weekend here in the Crescent City, friends. Yes, here at NOLA Drinks. Our thought is an Easter egg hunt is probably not the best place to brag about the might of your military. Probably not your target audience. But hey, anyway, friends, we got a good show for you here today coming up. We are going to start things off interviewing the band Bon Bon Vivant. Well, two of the members, I should say, Abigail Cosio and Jeremy Kelly. A really great band there. We talk about some of their influences in their music and things. They have a strong gypsy jazz influence, definitely a strong New Orleans influence in general on their music. We talk about their backstory a little bit. We talk about their involvement with the Red Beans Parade, some of their upcoming performances. And one of those I want to bring to your attention, I'll get to more of this later, because yes, French Quarter Festival is next week, friends. And you know, we've been talking about that quite a bit here on the show. We'll get to that in, further, as I said, in just a second. But Bon Bon Vivant is kicking off Friday, first performance on the Esplanade in the Shade stage. That's a mouthful. It's one of my favorite stages. It's there at the U.S. Mint now, the Jazz Museum. And it's the, of course, there's two stages at the Mint. And this is the one along Esplanade. And it's nice and shady. So if it's a bit warm and there's a nice grass area out there and there's, you know, great food, they always have rouses out there, boiling crawfish, stuff like that. So at 11 o'clock on Friday, the second day of the festival, Bon Bon Vivant will play. You bet we're going to be hanging out there, checking that out. That's going to be a lot of fun. And I wanted to mention, too, that when we recorded that interview, and you'll hear some of this during the interview, we recorded it at Louisiana Music Factory, our good friends there, the finest record store in the world, as far as I'm concerned, located at 421 Frenchman Street. And Barry Smith and the gang there, who have the shop, it's a great store. If you've not been in there, go check it out. I'm a big fan of record stores. I'm kind of a CD guy still. Okay. Not CD, maybe that a little bit too, but CD. But they got a great vinyl selection in there. They got a great book selection in there, videos related to music, t-shirts, all kinds of cool stuff. It's a great store. One of the things that I totally dig about it is that, you know, you go in there and unlike, say, listening to music or buying music online, that there's a wealth of knowledge that these guys and gals have that work there. So it's a really great place to go explore. And they have, you know, as you would imagine, a tremendous selection of New Orleans and Southeast Louisiana regional music, along with other stuff, of course. But it's my go-to place to go discover all kinds of great New Orleans music, pick up some CDs from local bands, things like that. So go check them out, 421 Frenchman Street. One of the things that they also do there at Louisiana Music Factory is they do in-store performances. They have a stage that they set up in the back of the shop, and they get great bands in there, by the way, when they do those in-store performances. So, pardon me. The coming up, a couple of note for you. April 21st is Record Store Day, and I think that's a thing going on. I don't know if it's international, but at least around the country, and it's, you know, to promote record stores. Sort of like what I'm talking about here, and they're participating. They're going to have a full slate of music. I don't have the lineup just yet in front of me, but they're going to have great. They always have great music for that, and there'll probably be 3, 4, 5 bands that play throughout the day, doing a 45-minute or so set in the store, and it's free. So go check that out. People will be signing CDs, stuff like that. And then one of the things that they also do during Jazz Fest, the days that Jazz Fest isn't really happening, so it's the Thursday before the first weekend, the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday between the two weekends, and then actually even the Monday after the second weekend, they're going to have wall-to-wall music in the store too. So if you're listening to the show from outside the area and you're planning to come see us for Jazz Fest, which I hope you do, that's a great thing to go do on some of those off days, is go check out Louisiana Music Factory. They'll have great bands again playing in there too. And we'll announce a lineup soon. We're going to be taping some more stuff there. When we taped with Bon Bon Vivant there, that was part of our Soul Skillet segment that we're calling it. And we're, you know, regularly interviewing musicians here on the show and talking about that. So another in that series of interviews. And we're kind of partnering up with Louisiana Music Factory whenever possible to tape those segments in the store there. Yep. Then in the second half of the show, friends, we go out to Champion Square, where we hooked up with a whole bunch of folks in the New Orleans Food Truck Coalition. And yet we got a New Orleans Food Truck Coalition. It's been around for 3 years or so, I think, something like that. I think we touched on that in the interview. And every month they do a food truck rally in Champion Square. It's put on by Live Nation. Thanks to them for hosting us, and thanks to the New Orleans Food Truck Coalition. And what we did is, it's part of our Two Dummies food tour. Oh yeah, that is back. And this is our second installment, our second official installment, where I'm joined by my good pal and co-host, Adrienne Miller. And she and I do as we usually do on the Two Dummies food tour. We eat food and we talk about it. And we talk about it with the people who make it. So it's really a lot of fun. We pull in several of the different food truck vendors that were out there at the event, taste some different things that they do, talk about their food trucks, talk about their background. And then we talk a bit about the New Orleans food truck scene with Erica Lasserre, who is the president of the New Orleans Food Truck Coalition, but she is also the owner of Diva Dog. So we interview her, and man, she had an alligator sausage crawfish. She was calling it the surf and turf dog. It was something else. And everything we ate out there was just fantastic. So yep, that'll be the second half of the show, another installment of the Two Dummies food tour. Going to be a lot of fun. Let's see, coming up next week, that's going to pretty much take us to the close of the show. So I'm covering some stuff next week. What we're going to do, it will be the first day of French Quarter Festival. We'll have started at 11 o'clock that morning, the next time the show airs on the radio next Thursday. So what seemed kind of fitting, we're doing some more music-oriented stuff. Our featured interview will be with John McCusker. John is a retired photojournalist who used to work for the Times-Picayune and The Advocate, I believe, and he is a jazz historian as well as a tour guide, a jazz tour guide. And John has done an extensive amount of research looking into the history of jazz music in New Orleans, which is, of course, really the history of jazz music as it began anywhere, and really, you know, demystifying a lot of it, destroying a lot of the myths or untrue stories or legends that are just not the case. And we also talk about his efforts to preserve certain structures and other aspects, if you will, of the history of jazz in New Orleans. Surprisingly, this may surprise you, it surprised me, very little protection has actually been given to something that is a cornerstone of the culture of New Orleans. And it's a reason why a lot of tourists come and see us right here in the town. So it's high time that we start preserving these buildings, recognizing them, sticking plaques on them, all that kind of stuff like we do and with so many of the other structures here in town. And all of that's great and important. But jazz is a part of this too. It's an original American art form. It's an original New Orleans art form. So it's a really fascinating interview. We actually just taped it the other day at Little Gem Saloon with John. So that's really cool. And it seems really appropriate on the first day of French Quarter Festival, friends. So that'll be next week's show. We are going to be doing extensive coverage here on the NOLA Drink Show of French Quarter Festival. I can't wait. We're lining up some interviews as we speak, probably with some musicians, with some of the food vendors. And we're just going to be out there checking out the whole thing for 4 days. You hear me say this all the time. It is my favorite music festival in the world. I get so excited. These 4 days coming up, it's now four full days, which is just great wall-to-wall music beginning on Thursday at 11 o'clock, goes all the way through Sunday evening. You can just wander around the French Quarter and some of the surrounding environs there and check out an endless number of acts and bands. There's 23 stages this time around, ranging from the small stages to the big stages along the river and Waldenburg Park and everything in between. It's going to be a blast. So the show, a lot of the stuff that we will actually do or record or cover, if you will, during French Quarter Festival next week, of course, will air the following week and maybe even a touch after that. So stay tuned for that stuff. It's going to be a lot of fun. Come check out French Quarter Festival. We've had some beautiful weather lately. I'm knocking on wood right now, hoping that holds out through next weekend, because man, if those things all come together, it's just the best 4 days ever. So that will be a lot of fun. Friends, I wanted to remind you, I said something about this last week, that the show is now available on Spotify, the podcast, of course, as well as the National Food and Beverage Foundation Podcast Network. Those are two new places that you can connect with the NOLA Drinks Show. We are thrilled about that. Of course, you can still get it on iTunes, Google Play, TuneIn Radio, and Stitcher, as well as on noladrinks.com, as always. But it's great to be part of Spotify, an honor really to be picked up by them, as well as being asked to be one of the inaugural shows, one of the first 3-4 shows there with the National Food and Beverage Foundation Podcast Network. Friends, we're going to take a little break here on the NOLA Drink Show. We're going to come back with our interview with Bon Bon Vivant, Jeremy and Abigail of that fantastic New Orleans band. And then in the second half of the show, it's all about food trucks out there at Champion Square. Take a little break, friends. Come on back.
Time for lunch? We've got you covered at Sobu.
Chef Juan Carlos whipped up special 2-course lunches that start at $14.
Try our Creole Cuban sandwich and pair it with a bowl of our gumbo.
Of course, Sobu's full menu is also available.
And don't forget Sobu's version of Commander's Palace 25-cent martinis.
Available Monday through Friday, 11:30 a.m. to 3:30 p.m.
Join us at Sobu for our speedy lunch at 310 Charter Street in the Quarter.
Complimentary parking next door at the W Hotel.
Sobu, life is meant to be lived, not endured.
Locally inspired and nationally recognized, Dickey Brennan Steakhouse is located in the French Quarter. Dickey Brennan Steakhouse serves USDA prime beef, Gulf seafood, and innovative Creole dishes. Come experience why Maxim Magazine and Playboy named it among the nation's top steakhouses. Running short on time? The full menu is available in the bar for quicker and more casual dining. Dickey Brennan's 5 After 5 Happy Hour Special is back. Dickey Brennan Steakhouse is located in the French Quarter at 716 Iberville.
All these saints and all these sinners will try to bend your ear.
All right. WGSO 990 AM in New Orleans and in podcast land wherever you may be. Thanks for tuning in today, friends. And as you know, if you're listening at the top of the show, and I hope you were, we are here at Louisiana Music Factory, 421 Frenchman Street here in the Marigny. And we're doing what we like to call our Soul Skillet segment, which we do from time to time, where we welcome local musicians to the show. And in this case, I have two band members from Bon Bon Vivant here. Abigail Cosio and Jeremy Kelly. Thanks for being here today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
My pleasure. Nice to meet you both today.
Absolutely.
Yeah, nice to meet you.
Thank you. It's always fun because, you know, we've been sitting here shooting the breeze for a half an hour before we actually start. taping, which I know is going to make for a good interview and a lot of fun. So you guys are telling me something really exciting that one of the things you're going to go scoot out of here to go do is you're in the middle of recording your second record.
Yeah,
we've got a full-length studio record that came out about a year ago in November. So it's about a year and a half old, called Paint and Pageantry. And then we did a live record at the Louisiana Music Factory that came out early this year in January. And now, so this is,
this is our second studio album, full-length album.
I think we got 12 songs that we're wrapping up on that one.
We're about halfway through, and we have we were saying we got to set dates for ourselves or else, you know, you can go down the creative rabbit hole.
Sure.
And so we set a release date for May 18th.
17th now.
Oh, a day sooner.
I took a,
shoot.
So our keyboard player and accordion player, Ryan Brown, he engineers all of our records. He's a studio engineer, really, really talented.
Cool.
Kind of capturer of moments musically.
Renaissance man.
Yeah, man. And so when I told him we got one less day, he was just like, why do you do this to me? What do you mean? Yeah. Thanks.
Well, anyway, so when you guys go into the studio and record, how much do you guys record live as an ensemble versus how much do you do your individual parts and mix bag?
Oh, good question. Or? Yeah, we go in really with bass and drums, and all of us together in the studio do kind of scratch tracks and they keep the drums and bass. So the live momentum is there, and then I prefer to go in and redo vocals and some of the guitar. I'll pick and choose which songs to redo guitar on. Jeremy gets to redo your...
Yeah, saxophone bleeds into everything.
Yeah.
And so if you ever want to, I don't know, change with levels of drums, and you've got a tenor saxophone noodling into the kick drum mic, it causes problems. But there's been some tunes that we've recorded live, and we're kind of moving more in that direction. As we've played together more, it melds better, and you get better and better at being creative in one room together.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things... we've got all the tunes on this record that are coming out, but Abby writes quite a bit. So there's probably 15, maybe even 20 songs that we haven't had a chance yet to adopt into the band and all of these things. And we're thinking about going in there and making it more of a creative live process where we've got a piano and we've got, you know, all the instruments, and we can kind of just play through these songs and capture what we capture.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm kind of excited to try.
Does that make it easier to have a bandmate who's the engineer then? Because then he's there. Be like, that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Absolutely.
It's incredible. We know we have this. We're sort of an accountant in the band. We have a sound engineer in the band.
Right on.
He's basically a business mogul, Jeremy is.
I don't know.
And it's very good. And I get to do the songwriting and, you know. the Instagram. So,
okay, so you got all your bases covered.
We've got all our
stuff. We collected most of the band members not for their musical ability, but their
for what else?
It's funny now, the jobs that they've been forced to quit in order to continue to play in the band. As we've continued to get busier, we've all quit other things to do this full time now. And it's funny that those side skills help. But every once in a while, when Aunt B calls and she goes, "You quit your job to be in a rock band? How old are you? Is this acceptable? Aren't you going in the wrong direction at this point?"
Right. It's like, when are you going to grow up and do something else? Right. Bartenders and servers and chefs get that asked that question all the time here in town as well.
Yeah. Right.
Right. It's like, what are you going to do after this? Like, well, no, this is what I do.
I lived in New Orleans, so I don't ever have to grow up. Right? Right. Is that the purpose?
We're here, right. Exactly.
Oh, well, no.
You two are a married couple.
Yeah.
So do you guys kick things around at home? And I mean, Abigail, you said you do most of the songwriting, but does this sort of happen organically in the living room too?
Yeah. As I've been songwriting since I was about 13, but as we've been together almost that long, 13 years, I think. And so it was
not since you were 13.
Not since I was 13.
For the record.
Yeah, gross.
You don't want any of that Jerry Lee Lewis stuff going on here.
Leave it in the past, y'all. The songwriting does happen in the home, and it was something that was like a bonding thing to kind of be okay with showing him that. And then now he's a great collaborator, and I sort of bring the bones, and he hears kind of dynamics, and this is where this instrument, and so we talk about it, and we're definitely co-writers. I write the songs and say, okay, what's up here, what should this do? And so it's nice that it happens in the home. It also means that we sort of never stop working, because
it's tough, huh?
Yeah.
The separation aspect of all this.
That's it. We're on a date, trying to have like a romantic evening, and no, that's not possible. I mean, you got to find time for all that in the middle of it.
Right. Now, so you play guitar and sing, Abigail, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you play saxophone, Jeremy.
Yeah.
How would you guys describe the style of music that you do? I know that's a kind of a loaded question.
I don't feel like you're in a box.
I looked at him because I've been doing the talk, and so
I always like to better define it in some way. It makes it so much easier to tour, because talent buyers are always kind of asking where do you fit in the universe.
Yeah.
It's like it's a little bit of gypsy jazz, maybe a little bit of punk rock, with a whole bunch of like trad jazz influences
and Americana. I started as a folk songwriter from way early on, and so meeting him, and he brought this saxophone into my life, and moved to New Orleans and found traditional jazz, and so those influences are all in there still.
Mm-hmm.
My father taught me how to play guitar, and he's just like a church guitar,
gospel blues rock player,
kind of blues.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So jazz was not in my home, and so it was nice to sort of get this added into my repertoire later. And as you do, these sounds start coming out that don't quite sound like the niche.
Sure.
You know?
Some weird collaboration of Americana and gypsy jazz, however that fits together.
Yeah, that's great.
I don't know if it does, but we're trying.
I think it works for me, man. I love what you guys do, by the way. But you guys, and we talked about this too. Like me, you're refugees from California.
Yeah,
yeah.
I call it.
Yeah,
all the time.
There you go. Because we all can't afford to live there. We were talking
about
that before. How'd y'all meet?
Oh yeah, him and I. Turns out we grew up in the same town, the little suburb of Southern California. Didn't know each other that way, and I had a good friend that was basically a sister living with us, and she'd met this family. She'd been working with Jeremy's mother and just loved and raved about them, and eventually she brought this guy home, and I met him, and sparks flew. And
I think I came and saw you at a coffee shop play one time.
Okay.
But then also, I went. She invited me. This friend of mine invited me to her birthday party at Disneyland.
Wow.
Oddly enough,
as you
and
do.
So yeah, Abby yes, and I ended up spending a lot of time in lines.
That's right.
Just chatting, and we just never stopped talking about music and what we were, life. And I was in a rock band playing bass actually at the time.
Okay.
And had put my horn down for 4 or 5 years, and we started dating, and I pulled this, kind of my dusty old tenor saxophone out and went, "This is, I used to do this." And she was like, "Why would you stop doing that?
Yeah.
Stop playing bass and play saxophone again."
Did you play in school band? Did you come from a high school program or something like that?
And as much of college as I could swallow. I was a rebellious youth, and I had a hard time with college.
Gotcha.
But I played in the jazz bands in college. I didn't do much else.
Weren't you the drum college major?
Part. Yeah, I was the drum major in my marching band in high school.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I did all the music stuff.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Well, you guys, let's do this. We got a couple seconds here, but we'll take a little break here on the show, if that's all right cool. with you, and come back, talk a little bit more about the music that you all are up to, talk a little bit about where people can catch in town coming up.
Yeah.
And then we're going to talk about Red Beans and Rice,
let's
I think.
Do too. It.
So yeah. much fun.
Yeah. Awesome. Perfect. Friends, we're going to take a little break here on the Nolan Drink Show. Brian Diaz here with the WGSO. Come on back.
French Market is open daily with pop-up fresh markets on Wednesdays and Saturdays. The Crescent City Farmers Market is at the French Market each Wednesday, rain or shine, from 2 to 6 p.m. On Saturdays from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., find new and different vendors offering everything from fresh bagels to fresh herbs. Vendors change weekly depending on weather and seasons, so check them out often. Visit frenchmarket.org for a list of farmers market vendors, chef demonstrations, live music, and special events.
Are you looking for the best buns? Well, we have them at Bayou Burger in the Quarter. Wait till you bite into one of our acclaimed burgers like the Cowboy Burger, Tiebreaker Shrimp Burger, the world-famous Gator Burger, or you can build your own with endless combinations. It's all fresh meat, never ever frozen. Everywhere you look, there's big screen TVs where you'll never miss a minute of the action. Boasting the largest balcony dining in the French Quarter, you can watch all the action pass you by on the street. Find the best burgers in action at Bayou Burger. 501 Bourbon at St. Louis for the best buns on bourbon. It's Bayou Burger, baby.
All these broken dreams and bottles, they are scattered on your floor. I'm looking through this field.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Brian Diaz here with you. Thanks for tuning in today. I am chatting with Abigail and Jeremy from Bon Bon Vivant. We're talking a bit about their music and their new record coming out and sort of the style of music, or I should say a better question, really, probably influences on your music.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
a better
right.
way to put it, right?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Now, how did you all come together as a band with the rest of the folks?
So Abby and I fell in love with this town in, I think it was, I came for the first time in 2004.
Were you just visiting
and
Jeremy?
And freaked out,
yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, and brought my horn, didn't understand what was happening to me at the time. the way that, I don't know, jazz music is played here is different than everywhere else. And
absolutely.
All of the creative influences that go into funk and the richness of all of that here kind of blew my mind. So it went back to California. It took a little while before we came back, but Abby and I came back in 2008, and then we're living here in 2009. In 2009. We fell in love with playing music here.
Were you guys playing in California
we were.
Together at that point?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'd had a band that was, kind of doing it in Los Angeles and just playing around, but it was just such another machine out there that, eventually we kind of said, okay, I think we did that. And the band dissolved, and it was sort of that, like, what do we do with ourselves? Where do we can do anything. The map is ours and also isn't ours. So, and, we'd come here just on trips and thought this city had a, even, I wasn't necessarily thinking I would come and play music. I just loved that. It seemed like there was a reward for hard work here in a way that maybe doesn't happen elsewhere. But
yeah, I mean,
also,
artists sell their wares on their on the street in Jackson Square, and there's this really hustle, interesting art culture.
That was the appeal to me, was kind of witnessing that I didn't need... L.A. has a lot of hype about your brand and who you are, and like kind of really pumping yourself up, and instead of getting to make the work that you want to be selling or painting, or you're kind of hyping yourself up, and
right.
It was just a pretense there that I didn't see here in the way of life of other musicians and artists. And so, yeah, I came here, set up in the French Market and sold my wares, and it was awesome. And I got to make things that I loved and sell them to people. And then a couple of years later, maybe a year or two in, he'd been playing music because he was ready. But being a songwriter was sort of like, where do you go from here, reinventing yourself and coming from another band? And yeah, and so we came and thought, okay, let's do this. And
I jumped in and started playing jazz immediately. I mean, Okay. Immediately I just brought my horn and off the plane, I wanted to go sit in with everybody I possibly could. And ended up meeting some really, really wonderful and helpful people. And you find that if you're open and I don't know, excited about it, the Wendell Bruniuses and these great kind of family New Orleans musicians will help guide you on the gig. You know, he goes like, you know what? You sound like this a little bit. You should listen to this record.
Right, right.
There's a Stunny Stitt record with Gene Ammons that you should check out because I think that would change how you see what you're trying to do, because I could hear that naturally in you. So you get all this great advice. And so I ended up playing jazz, and I ended up playing jazz with some of the guys that are in our band now. And Abby started writing tunes. A very long story, very quickly, is we got asked to play a Fringe Festival gig for a drag show.
Okay.
On Rampart. So we grabbed the...
At Always Lounge or something like that, or...
It was actually a friend of ours, Vince Santos, who's a drag performer in town.
I know Vince, because okay. Vince was actually on the show with me about 3 months ago.
Oh, nice.
Up. Yeah, yeah.
He's
yeah.
a great friend yeah. of ours.
Oh, cool. Okay, yeah. great. Awesome.
We'd met them and befriended Gregory. He's got, you know, Mr. fast Gregory. And friends.
Yeah, I had lunch there today.
Yes! Oh.
There
you
go. Oh, I eat there all the time.
Man.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Surprised we didn't see you there, but he was doing the show, and he'd heard a little bit of the music we'd been playing in California and said, you know, let's do this. And
Vince
so,
kind of forced us to start a band.
Yeah.
Is what happened.
Oh, that's cool.
Vince Santos kind of said, like, you
he's
have to do this.
He's an influential person.
And he's such a great guy to get to do that, right?
Yeah.
To spur people to do things.
As a
producer, I guess I'll call him. Yeah. That's a fair way to put it.
He pulls no punches.
He pulls
so it was
no.
good. It was good. It was like, it was the kind of the kick in the pants we needed. And then we were playing this awesome drag show, and he pulled the musicians he'd been playing with, Ryan Brown, the accordion player, and Ray D'Antonio, the drummer. We actually met him through Craigslist, as you do with some of the closer relationships in your life.
Sure, there you go. Well, you touched on this, Jeremy, but I think I always like to ask folks that play music in town this. I think a lot of people outside of New Orleans don't get this trajectory that we often have here, where you can show up, play on the street, sell your art on the street, and people, there's this sort of progression, and it doesn't happen for everybody, but a progression where people take you under their wing.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's a pipeline kind of there
that,
you know, people think that somebody busking on the street is... The people that are busking on the street make me realize how bad I suck at playing
no,
music.
No, man. Yeah.
You know?
Sure.
Just put it that way.
Yeah, right.
But there are people, and I mean, I have so many stories of people that we know collectively that have had that experience where somebody takes you up on stage. And I remember our mutual friend Mark Stone was saying when Eddie Bo took him up on stage when he had first seen him playing outside what used to be Margaritaville. And Mark said, you know, you learn to play by your ears.
Yeah.
And so, like, they're showing you the part, and he's like, no, you learn to play by your ears.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, there was a trad gig that I would do regularly, and I used to bring an iPad or a book with all the chord changes in it. I had, like I said, been playing bass for a lot of years, and I was kind of just getting back to playing saxophone, and so the nuance of that music was foreign to me at the time, and so the guy eventually just said, don't bring the book back. I'm tired of hearing you read out of a book.
Uh-huh.
Just don't bring it back anymore. And so very nervously, and with a couple of really ugly moments... got through that, and then you realize that your ears do catch you, and you know it does. If you allow yourself to explore that, you'll find it. I mean, you'll find the chord changes. You'll learn to hear what a 2-5-1 sounds like, and know where you are. You know, and it just happens eventually if you give yourself the ability, and the freedom to do it.
Right,
and that's encouraged here. That and you hear music everywhere you go.
It's right.
So you're just inundated with it, just rattling around in your bones.
We talk about that a lot, you know, and one of the things we were talking about during the break is, you know, you can't separate, I always say it's a tapestry on the show, you can't separate the food, the drink, the music.
Right.
Okay. They're all part of each other, and we get up in the morning, like we're talking about the food, you know, get up in the morning, the first thing you talk about is what are you going to have for dinner?
Right.
And then when you're cooking dinner, you got tunes on.
Right.
You know, and that kind of thing, and it's all these things, you just don't separate the two. And we know just even the references in the lyrics of music are so frequently populated by food and drink and art and life life in the streets of New Orleans.
Bon vivant. All of us here are bon vivants.
We are indeed, no doubt. So that's how the band got its name, right?
Yeah. I'm a collector of words, and I just thought, what a cool word, bon vivant.
Yeah.
And it's a commonly used word, and I knew that wasn't going to fly for a band name because it probably already existed, and so just threw another bon in front of it.
We like to eat and drink so much that it's a problem, so we added the extra bon.
I like that.
We were just saying. It's kind of neat with a band name like Bon Vivant. We can all be a little chubby. Because it's like encouraged in the, we don't have to worry too much about the appearance aspect.
Right. I like that. I'm going to start a band called Gourmand.
That's it.
There you go.
We're a little drunk and a little bit of a mess, but lovable. Yeah,
exactly.
So it's fine.
Got a winter layer around my waist. It's perfect.
That's it.
So you guys are playing, we were talking about this, Jeremy, yesterday on the phone, but you guys are playing French Quarter Festival, right?
We are. We're playing the Esplanade and the Shade stage on the 13th.
Friday the 13th.
At 11 o'clock. So we're going to open that stage.
Awesome.
And we're really excited about it.
That's
going to be a lot of fun.
It's a great stage. So that's the one, for listeners out there, if you don't know, it's the one at the U.S. Mint now, the Jazz Museum. And it's really cool because it is shady, hence why they call it the Esplanade and the Shade Stage.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of, it's so much more chill than so many of the other stages just in general.
Yeah, we saw Tank and the Bangas there maybe, was it 2 years ago? And just, that was one of my favorite shows. That stage is great. And we had a little Irish coffee from... You know, Molly's. We were made in the shade.
It was perfect.
Stage.
Made in the shade. You know, crawfish boil going on
there,
which is really cool.
Yeah.
Are you guys crawfish? Oh, I know you're.
Yeah.
Crawfish.
I love it. Yeah. Absolutely.
I have tried my fare of crawfish, being not born and raised here. I was like, okay, I'm gonna do this. I gotta try this thing. And it was different and wild, and it's sort of as a vegetarian, sort of reminded me of what tofu is. It takes on the flavor of the thing it's soaked in.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's a lot of work for a little meat, which is also similar to tofu.
Yeah, there you go. And it's really social, right? So it's really fun.
It's a hang.
Yeah, let's do this, you guys. Let's take a break, and we'll come back and chat a little more.
You got it.
Excellent. Friends, we're going to take a little break here on the Noel Drink Show. Come on back.
Oregon wines are taking over New Orleans. The reason? They're delicious. Next time you're shopping for wine, grab a bottle of Sass Wine. Located in the South Salem Hills of Oregon's Willamette Valley, Sass Wine produces small amounts of handcrafted, high-quality wines that include Pinot Noir, Pinot Blanc, Pinot Gris, Chardonnay, Riesling, Sauvignon Blanc, and Rosé of Syrah. A perfect balance of full fruit with fine, supple tannins and firm acidity is what makes truly great wines, and you'll find that in every bottle of Sass wine you drink.
Mixing the potion in a vial of glass, I drink it to silence the voice in my head, seducing death with the slightest of keys, just like the alchemist, darker than magic, the cursed remedy will replace all disease. There at the brink, you will leave a piece of my chest.
right, everybody. Welcome back to the show. Brian Diaz here with you, WGSO 990 AM in New Orleans and in podcast land, wherever you may be. Yeah, we're here at Louisiana Music Factory, thanks to my pal Barry Smith, who is the proprietor here at the world's greatest record store.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to say that. And I'm chatting with Abigail and Jeremy from Bon Bon Vivant, terrific band here in town. And Barry's hosting us. And Barry has, we can find your music here.
That's right.
All of it.
Yeah. We play here often also. So he's got our vinyl even.
Ooh, I did. You guys got some vinyl on the first record?
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, cool.
Yep.
Apparently, we heard that.
Oh, hello.
Hey. My lovely wife, Sylvia, just walked in. But go on. So we were talking about.
Yeah, vinyl outsold CDs last year, we heard. Not ours, but the medium.
Really?
Yeah.
I had not heard that.
Yeah, okay. We didn't know if we were going to print them. And we've always just had a love for records. So we decided to print our own record on vinyl, and it's been a ton of fun. It's amazing to see when we busk out on Royal Street still. We still play out on the street. We still have this love for it. People come up and buy vinyl and take it home with them.
Oh, so you guys will actually have the wax out there on the street, too.
Yeah.
We try to keep it out of the summer months.
Yeah. Right.
We have to shade it.
We never let anybody buy the first one in the stack. It's probably melted already.
Just in case.
Got to buy the one fifth in. The fifth one in. That one's probably still working.
Use just a few for placeholders, that you never sell. That's really cool. So when you guys, well, let's talk about this, because then I want to get to where some of the upcoming gigs are and where people can connect with you online. You guys found yourself involved with a really cool parade, one of the crews here in town, the Red Beans Parade.
Yeah.
How'd you find yourself involved with the Beans?
So we've got two good friends, Chris and Mark, and Devin now is a good friend too, that incepted that with Devin. So they were part of the kind of founding members of the Red Beans.
11 years ago.
Now. Yeah, it was 11 years ago. And Chris, they were looking for a band to play. And Abby had written a song called The Bones.
Well, I'd never been part of a crew. And I was like, okay, this is the year I'm going to join a crew. And Christopher said, I'm a craft person. So I thought, that's the crew for me. I know how to wield a hot glue gun. So I joined Red Beans. And the next year, and I loved it. And you were there.
Yeah.
And, just went as a participant. And then the next year, Chris said, hey, does Bon Bon want to play? And by then I'd written a song about my first year's experience of being in Red Beans, which was called The Bones, about the friends Chris and Mark. They kind of do the skull and bones, bone attire.
Kind of a reference to the Bone
exactly,
Gangs.
And, yeah, exactly. Okay. Done with, Red Beans and rice and whatnot. And so sort of that imagery took hold, and the song The Bones is about that. And
that's on the first record, is that right?
Or
is
that's actually going to be on this new one.
It's going to be on the new one. Okay.
Yeah,
cool.
Yeah, we've got a video out of it, which has the Red Beans Parade. You can see the Red Beans Parade and us kind of marching around. It's like kind of a video montage with the bones behind it.
That's awesome.
That we have on YouTube. I'll have to send it to you.
Yeah, please, because we'll share that on the show notes. That's fantastic.
And then Devin at one point called us and said that the Red Beans Parade has gotten so popular and so big that the crew had been full, and he wasn't looking to kind of continue to grow it, so he started the Dead Beans, which is this subcrew extra faction that's kind of all surrounded around kind of mythical creatures, death, people that have been lost,
passed on.
Kind of celebrating death a little bit.
Yeah,
for the more macabre.
Okay.
Paraders.
And we have that little angle here in the city.
That's right.
We second line at funerals. So.
Yep.
Yep.
And Devin puts a cap, 100 members on each crew. And so, Red Beans was full, and he wanted to sort of start, after the Mardi Gras Indians tradition, more crews. And then, as the suits are made once a year the same way. And so...
Does the Dead Beans crew walk right after the Red Beans?
We meet.
Crew? You meet. Okay.
Yeah. This year, Dead Beans started at the...
Cabildo Bridge.
At the Bayou.
Cabrini Bridge.
Oh, okay.
At Bayou St. John.
Yep.
And we march onto the Candlelight. And then the Red Beans folks, we all meet at the Candlelight. In the Treme.
This was
and
the first
have, like,
year.
The Treme brass band's playing, and we all get to sit in together, and all the bands get to... Panorama Jazz Band was playing with us, and so all these musicians just get to horse around and drink too much and eat red beans and rice and play
check
music.
Check out everybody's suits. And
I like it.
Yeah, it's fun. It's really a feast for the eyes.
And that's on Lundi Gras.
And you guys, yeah, Lundy Grind in the morning, right? It's sort of like late, mid to late morning.
2 o'clock. Yeah, it's over by, this year we were done by about 6, I'd say.
Oh, it's in the afternoon. For some reason, I thought it started like mid morning. Okay, I gotcha.
Yeah.
Lundy Grind's such a great day. So that's
it really is.
We've had to learn to temper ourselves, so, because Monday, Lundy Grind's become such a big deal now. We're like, okay, but tomorrow is Mardi Gras, guys. Don't give it all away.
Save a little bit of your liver and your soul for Mardi Gras Day, right?
It ends at 6. Go home.
Yeah.
just go home.
For me, never happens.
It never happens.
Never happens.
I got to go home.
So you guys, excuse me. Tell us when we can expect the... I don't know if we said this specifically, so... Goal is May, excuse me, for the new record.
Yeah.
May 17th, we're going to do a record release party at Tips. Which we're really excited about.
Oh, so you are truly on the hook then, because you had a release party.
That's why
we're
going
to have to show up. Okay. We're going to have records with us when we show up.
We have something to sell.
So we're going to do that at Tipitina's, and we're still trying to find some friends to play with to kind of build a lineup for that night. But it'll be our first time ever playing at Tipitina's, which we're really excited about.
Yeah, man,
that's hollow ground.
Yeah, no doubt.
And then we're doing French Quarter Fest that comes up on the 13th on Friday. Mm-hmm. And afterwards is a really fun after party. Have you heard of the band Debosh?
Oh, yeah.
So we're playing with them at the Hi-Ho.
Okay, yeah.
I think around 10 o'clock that night on the 13th. Yeager called and asked us to open up for them at the Hi-Ho during French Quarter Fest. So we're excited to play with those guys. Yeah.
And you guys are playing at 11 o'clock in the morning. We've got to be
11,
clear.
11 a.m.
During these festivals, we have to be clear about a.m.
Exactly,
and p.m.
Exactly, you're right.
So 11 a.m. On the Esplanade in the Shade stage here at the Mint.
Okay. Yes.
Actually, I guess we talked about that. But where can people find you in general and regularly when you're playing?
Yeah,
Bamboulas, we do the Maison. A lot of the French Mystery. DBA a couple of times a month.
Okay. We're very good about posting our gigs online that are coming up, like throughout, because we play about... at least 2 or 3 times a week in the city somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So on our...
bbvband.com.
Perfect.
You can see all of that. bbvband.com.
Yeah, that has all our gigs. So does...
the Facebook page does too.
The Facebook page.
If you Google Bon Bon Vivant, another good thing about having an engineer as a band member. So the Ryan, who's really great at a recording engineer, also loves tech. And our Google Analytics are incredible because of that man.
Any
technology thing, he falls in love with. And so then we get the benefits of his love affair with all of those things.
Google Analytics.
Yeah.
So he's a total keeper in the band.
He's not going anywhere.
He's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
Irreplaceable.
So you guys have a Facebook page, you guys on Instagram?
Yep.
Also?
Yeah. Absolutely. And you'll see pictures of all of our shenanigans on Instagram. And we'd love to get a copy of this show and put it up.
We will we will make that happen.
All right.
That does not go past my tech pay grade.
Nice.
So that should be fine. And so you guys look forward to seeing you at French Quarter Festival and here on Frenchman Street. And I really appreciate you taking some time. And we'll see you at the Red Bean Parade in next Mardi Gras.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That'll be great.
Hopefully
we'll see you sooner than that, too.
Next time we'll have to talk more about food.
I know.
Yeah, we'll do that next time. We'll do that again. We'll do that again
and
soon.
And drinking, too.
And drinking.
Yeah.
Well, what we'll do is we'll make sure we, instead of just drinking spring water, and I'm not complaining,
boring.
We'll have a little more time. We'll do this at a bar. Or Barry has no problem with beers coming in here.
There you go. There you go.
We'll just get some beers across the street and bring them
nice.
In. Perfect. We got a brew pub or a brewery.
Come on,
right across the street.
There you go.
Jeremy, Abigail, thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate
you.
It.
That was a pleasure.
Was a treat.
Thanks so much.
Thanks.
My pleasure. Friends, we're going to take a little break here on the NOLA Drink Show. That was Jeremy and Abigail from Bon Bon Vivanco. Check them out, bbvband.com, and then all the Instagrams and Facebooks and all that stuff of the world. And be sure to catch them on Frenchman Street. Be sure to catch them at French Quarter Festival, Esplanade in the Shade stage, which is one of the finest stages, I'll say that. It's comfortable, shady, it's cool. And we're taking a little break here on the NOLA Drink Show. Friends, come on.
Are you looking for a great place to enjoy great handcrafted and vintage cocktails? Victory is located at 339 Barone Street in the heart of downtown New Orleans. We have a variety of spirits, a talented team of bartenders, and great gourmet small plates. Our mission? To preserve an era when cocktails were made with artistry and pride. Grab your friends and come enjoy the ultimate cocktail experience. Give us a call to book your next private event or go to our website, victorynola.com. See you soon. Cheers.
Hey, New Orleans, Jack Jelenko here, local wine guy. Want a great alternative to Over Oak Chardonnay? Try Yamhill Valley Vineyards Pinot Blanc. a wonderfully balanced white wine from the oldest family estate in McMinnville, Oregon, in the Willamette Valley. It's round and ripe like a Chardonnay, but without the heavy oak and sweetness of big commercial corporate Chardonnays. Yamhill Valley Vineyard Pinot Blanc, a great value under $20. Ask for it wherever you buy wine. Cheers.
Tim McNally, welcome to the Dine, Wine, and Spirit Show, NOLA Drinks Edition. Here's your host, Brian Diaz.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Brian Diaz here with you, WGSO 990 AM in New Orleans and in podcast land, wherever you may be. Hey, yep, it's the Two Dummies Food Tour.
Hi, Dummy.
Hey, Dummy, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
It's really good to see you. I'm doing good.
Good to see you well. Yeah. As well. I can't talk, it's fine.
That's fine. We're not going to talk about why you can't talk, because that's a secret. But here with Adrian Miller, my co-host in this venture, the Two Dummies Food Tour. And Adrian, we're out here today at a food truck rally at Champion Square.
Yeah, I didn't even know what was going on, and when you messaged me, I was like, Diva Dogs, yes, please, because I've been really curious about Diva Dogs. And I know we're going to talk about other things, but the Diva Queen is sitting in front of me, and I'm very excited. I cannot wait to put your hot dogs in my mouth.
That's what she said.
Exactly. We went there that early.
Right. But it's never too early insinuendos. That's the word.
So, and if you don't know, then we are sitting here with also with Erica Lasserre, who is the Diva Dog herself.
Yeah, that's me. Yeah. The Diva Dog hot dog lady.
Exactly. And also president of the New Orleans Food Truck Coalition.
I am. I have that lovely job.
So, and I'm sure that entails lots of wonderful honors and all kinds of things bestowed upon you, right?
Yeah,
so
I mean, it's pleasant, you know? I love it.
You also are the queen of dummies as well.
I guess so.
Right. There you go. Nice tie into the Two Dummies. We're all just collective peas in a pod here, which is great. Well, Erica, tell us a little bit. We're going to talk to you about Diva Dog in a second, but tell us a little bit about the coalition, how it got started, and tell us a little bit just about the food truck scene here in New Orleans.
Well, you know, the coalition started before my time of getting on the scene with the food truck coalition. It started with La Cocinita. I think it was Taco Loco as well. They were like the first trucks in the city that kind of like tried to start this coalition to kind of get better rules in place for the food trucks. Because I know when I was like looking to do a food truck back in 2011-12, it wasn't clear guidelines, and they took the initiative to make the guidelines, you know, a little more clearer, and made it more comfortable for people like me to want to get into the food truck business. So,
yeah, and that was kind of an issue, right? When food trucks are really starting to ramp up here in New Orleans, it was just very confusing, and like many things in New Orleans, not hard to imagine that was the case. So the coalition, the idea then was to basically band together, smooth these things out.
And now it's just it revamped into being like where you can come to our website and book a truck. Well, not book a truck, but request a truck for booking. So, you know, so it's that right now. And so it's been good. And we just try to do like charity events together. And like right now we do the food truck roundup with Live Nation. Thanks to them. You know, we do this once a month on Fridays. We have Gretna Food Truck Fest, Terrytown food truck fest that we do. So it's like a bunch of them that we, you know, we kind of get together and do.
That's cool.
There's a food truck coalition on the West Bank.
It's this one, but they go out to the West Bank.
No, I know, but I'm saying like, sorry, I'm in love with the West Bank.
Yeah, well, in the West Bank,
terribly
West Bank
in love with the West Bank. Like, it's bad.
Really?
Yeah, it's really bad.
The West Bank is very good to us because they don't have food trucks over there. So when they do have food truck fest over there, they turn out very well. I just did the Gretna Food Truck Fest on Saturday, so it was amazing turnout, you know. And so we'll be doing the Terrytown Food Truck Fest on Saturday, April 7th. So, you know, excited about that.
Where can you go to? Okay, because I'm kind of a dummy. I'm the queen of dummies, actually. Nickname. So this is the thing that I'm lacking, that, I mean, I always see the food trucks, like when I'm coming down Tulane and I see everybody.
Yeah.
But where can we go to find all this information where you guys are always going to be at?
Nobody has like a set schedule.
Well, like at least like, do we just like pull up a name like food trucks, or
you have to go to each individual food truck, okay, like social media pages. Like me, I post a schedule, my weekly schedule. So you can go on my page and see where I am for the week. And then we'll post like wherever we are. Like today we'll post like that we're here at Champion Square from 11 to 2. So you have to go to each individual's pages to kind of see where they are. The only thing that we, for our social media page, this New Orleans Food Truck Coalition page, we would post like the events that we are doing collectively, or like where more than one truck is collectively.
Now you have links though to everybody, right, on the Food Truck Coalition page, like all the members that you can click from.
Yeah,
there.
Once we, because the website is under construction right now, but that's okay. What we're doing, like we're getting it
okay
ramped up to where it's like you can go to each person's website page if they have a website, or their social media if they have social media, or just see whatever you can see on the page there.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
How many members now in the coalition?
We just renewed membership, so we probably have about 13 members.
Oh wow. Okay.
So yeah. Oh, yeah.
Great. Good.
So, and we're very strict about, you know, membership, because we want everybody who books through the New Orleans Food Truck Coalition know that we are permanent trucks. You know, these are trucks that have their fire and their health, and like we are legit permanent trucks. So it's not, you're not getting a truck that, you know,
fly by night type stuff.
Exactly. Not gotcha. Paying taxes and all that.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Well, Erica, so let's talk about Diva Dog. We got about 4 or so minutes left before we have to take a break. So tell us about your operation.
So Diva Dog started for me as a restaurant. And it was on Magazine Street. Didn't work out in the area where I was. Closed it down after a year. I won this competition because I went into debt after that. And so I was in a competition that kind of like for New Orleans Entrepreneur Week that kind of just finished. And it was with the Urban League Women in Business Challenge. And I won $10,000. And it kind of like got me revved up to do the food truck. So dope. I do the opposite of what normal people do. Some people go from a food truck to a restaurant. I went from a restaurant to a food truck. But for me, for my personality, it's more freeing because I get to be different places, you know, see different people. I'm not in the same spot every day, and I love that. And, you know, my food is gourmet hot dogs. My hot dogs are made from scratch. My buns are specially made. My sauces are all specially made. And you have that New Orleans flair with hot dogs. So it's like ribbing chili dog with fried chicken, the crawfish etouffee dog, crab meat grilled cheese sandwich. I have sweet fire wings. We have crown apple pie bread pudding and a plowing candy shake. So you can get, oh, and I can't forget about my vegetarians. I make my vegetarian dog and chili from scratch. So it's like everybody gets love at the Diva Dog Truck.
I just had.
You were silent there for a while, and I know.
Body experience.
Yeah, exactly.
I got super excited. Like, super. I'm sorry. I was just doing creepy things to the microphone. I have this terrible obsession with food. And so one of my favorite places to eat, which closed down, which made me really sad, was Dreamy Weenies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those guys, hot dogs were stupid. They were, like, some of my favorite things. Because I worked at Tonique for a very long time.
Uh-huh.
And anytime somebody would like be like, where can we eat? I'm like, Dreamy Weenies, Dreamy Weenies. And everything you just described just reminded me, like, being like, man, because there's nothing better than a good hot dog.
Absolutely.
Right.
Like, when you eat a hot dog and you hear that snap and you do that bun just like all mushes and kind of starts melting in your mouth, you're just like, it's seriously like, that's one of my absolute favorite things. And I cannot wait to try your hot dogs. I'm super excited.
I'll be at one coming over pretty soon.
Yeah, we'll work that out. Well, Erica, where are you typically during the week? Like, what's a normal week for you?
So we go to UNO at least twice a week. So we'll be like either on their quad area by the library or in the research center over on Lakeshore Drive, and then from there it's like either private catering events or festivals, like the food truck roundups. Like this, our schedule is kind of unpredictable.
Got
so,
it. That's how it
so
works.
That's why it's like it's always good to go to our social media, Diva Dog Truck, dog spelled DAWG. And, you know, I post the schedule every week. That's like the easiest thing for us to find us.
Perfect. So, and Facebook, and you guys update.
Yeah, it's Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Okay.
Yep.
Excellent. So what we're going to do, you guys, we're going to take a little break here on the show, and we're going to come back, talk with some more of the food vendors out here at Champion Square for the food truck rally, and then we'll figure out how we work the Diva Dog back into the program here.
Yeah.
And we do some tasting. But we're going to do that. We're going to have a good crowd out here. It's a beautiful day, friends. We're going to take a little break here on the Nola Drink Show, Two Dummies Food Tour. Come on back.
Hey ladies, are you looking for wine to bring to your next girls' night out? Grab a bottle of Capitello Wines and enjoy the taste of fruit from Oregon's Willamette Valley. Capitello has a wide variety of wines to choose from. Sauvignon Blanc, Pinot Noir, dessert wine, and a Brut Sparkling that's a blend of Pinot Noir and Chardonnay. He'll even stop by next time he's in town. So grab the girls, have fun, and enjoy Capitello Wine. Cheers.
Oh, drank my beer while I was in the rear. Tell me who drank my beer while I was in the rear.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Brian Diaz here with WGSO 990 AM in New Orleans and in podcast land, wherever you may be. Yep, it's the Two Dummies Food Tour, joined by my fellow food dummy, Adrian Miller, as always.
There's a giant hot dog in front of me, and there's also, what did you tell, what is in this crepe?
Yeah, so we're chatting with Kevin Merlin Secret. Of Crepes a la Carte, also, who's now joined us, and Erica Lasserre is still here with us from Diva Dog.
Oh, yeah. He brought diabetic meth in that. In that crepe. That's why I'm really excited. I can't talk when I get excited.
So it'll be worth it.
Tell us a little bit about Crepes a la Carte, Kevin, and what you're up to.
So we are a tiny corner crepery. Started about 15 years ago in the university area of New Orleans. We're located right by Tulane University. We launched our food truck about 5 years ago. It's an old car. It's a 1936 Ford, basically with a kitchen on the back. We put in some crepe griddles, got it up to code, and we've been rolling for about 5 years with it. Do mostly private events, but you'll find us all around town as well.
How did you get into doing crepes? What was the motivation there?
Well, I didn't have a job, and I was newly married. I've always had an entrepreneurial spirit. So my wife and I were actually vacationing in Breckenridge, Colorado, and we saw a little crepe shop on the side of the road. It was a little cart, and we approached the owners, and we said, you know, this would do great in New Orleans. They said, well, we'll teach you how to make crepes if you use our name. So that's why there's no E at the end of the word cart. We got back home. We found a spot right by Tulane University, and opened up our shop, and we've got a pretty loyal following from the community and from the university students as well.
That's pretty cool. That's exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's... Erica, tell us, because you brought us something to sample.
I brought you delicious Cajun Surf and Turf, which is our alligator sausage with my crawfish etouffee sauce on top. And you have a nice little brioche bun to kind of like bring it all together.
Adrian, are you going to get into that?
Yes.
So, all right, you get into that first,
wait,
and I'll have a bite.
Talk about, at Crepes a la Carte,
yes,
there are ice cream crepes, and so I have diabetes. But I have that good insulin where I can eat kind of some things that I shouldn't. I'm not even kidding you. I almost died when I was like, there's ice cream crepes. Oh, my God.
So, yeah, crepes are so versatile. And that's the wonderful thing about them.
It's just, it's like a tortilla. It goes on everything.
It's like a tortilla, but we make each tortilla fresh for everybody. And so that's the hard part about making crepes. And that's really the difference between what we have and what you might find in a regular wrap. Basically, we're making our wrap for everybody.
Yeah.
So,
and I get excited every time I do an event with him because I get to get me a crepe.
We love to trade. We eat well at these events. So you're looking at our menu for our brick and mortar. We've got over 50 varieties there in our tiny little truck, which actually is not much smaller than our crepery uptown. But we obviously have a very limited menu. What I brought here today is these are crepe bites, and these are... our fresh-made crepes, which we roll out, and instead of serving them in a handheld crepe sleeve, we'll roll them up and make bite-sized pieces. It's great for, like, weddings and parties and large-scale events.
Kids.
Kids, right. Absolutely. I've got a couple. We eat crepes all the time.
To eat in bed and watch Netflix.
Netflix, this is great. And this is how I start my day a lot of the time, with what you see before you. So this is actually a combination of Nutella, which I think most everybody knows about, and speculoos, which many people do not know about, and that is a European cookie butter.
Okay.
So I like to pair them together, and that's what I recommend doing. And even though these are sweet, we do have a good deal of savory items as well on our menu, vegetarian items, various kinds of meats, fresh vegetables. And you're digging in. You're doing okay? Big
yeah,
smile.
Well, yeah. You're going to have to talk for a second so I can have a bite of the drink. So,
all right,
go
this
ahead.
Is. So when you talk about cookie butter, there's those.
Yes.
You get it. You know what I'm talking? I think it's called like Biscoff or something like that.
Biscoff, that's one of the brands. Yes.
Yeah.
So similar to a Biscoff cookie, and it's spreadable, so it's
that's
got the
exactly
consistency of a
like
peanut butter.
Yeah. This. Mm-hmm. I can't talk.
And it pairs so well with
so
Nutella.
Yeah.
And it pairs well with our crepe itself. Right?
No,
I mean,
everything.
You can tell everything.
It's like your
pops.
Crepe's like super airy, which I love in a crepe. Because sometimes you get like I've had crepes where they're like dense and it just tastes like I'm eating a pancake, and I'm like, I don't want this.
Yeah,
I want it.
We get compliments on our actual crepe better all the time. I just got a text from somebody that's on a school trip in France, and he's like, hey, I'm by the Eiffel Tower right now and just want to let you know that your crepes are better. So we love hearing stuff like that, and we hear it all the time. So it's definitely worth experiencing.
When you guys barter and trade food, how does that work? Is it always pretty friendly, or is there some negotiation that goes on?
I mean, me and Kevin, it's a known fact that it's going to happen.
I know what she's going to get.
It's like, hey, Kevin, you ready?
When I hear a knock on my side door, then I know it's Erica or one of the other folks. We're real friendly, and we tell all our staff, you know, eat well and return the favor. Yeah.
I bartend, so I will gladly trade drinks or bottles of liquor for food.
Yeah, you know which door to knock on. We'll
I have no problem doing that.
Right.
You can come to my bar anytime, and I will provide you with liquor.
Perfect.
If you bring me food.
See, we're brokering deals here on the show. Great. Erica, this is delicious, by the way.
Thank you so much.
So, it's an alligator sausage.
Alligator sausage on a brioche bun with my crawfish etouffee sauce right on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
Super delicious.
It's really good. Is this one of your normal? You have this most of the time?
This is like, it's definitely a normal, and it's popular amongst men. Men love this Cajun surf and turf. So...
you know how I get when I eat food.
She's like,
when it's good.
She like totally stopped and just chewed and looked at it and kind of like took it up. She took it all in just now.
My soul is coming to Jesus.
Exactly.
No, this is bleeping, bleeping beautiful.
Thank you.
No, this is really
the best meat in your mouth.
Yeah, this is the best meat I've had in my mouth in quite some time. Many, many months.
So Kevin, when you get something from Erica, what's your go-to from her?
I like her grilled cheese, crab.
Yeah, my crabby grilled cheese. I know that's what he's going to get, and I always come by. What I come by?
Get the pizza crepe with bacon on it.
I want to add bacon. I want to add tomatoes. I want to add spinach. I want to get all of
mix
that.
Mix it up.
That sounds pretty good.
The Erica special.
The Erica special. I like it. So right. Where the brick and mortar is where, Kevin?
Right by Tulane University, 1039 Broadway Street. If you're familiar with the boot in Tulane University, then
yeah.
You've probably seen us. We're cooking sometimes till 5 o'clock in the morning out there. We're open every day, and you can get anything on our menu all the time, from breakfast
to
desserts.
Were you at the French Market for a while?
We were there years ago for their markets that they have out there.
I remember you guys.
But we are down in that area every once in a while. We got Creole Tomato Fest coming up. We have French Quarter Fest coming up. I've got, I think, like 3 events tomorrow. So from private events, we'll be at the Crescent City Classic tomorrow, and the new food park that's opening up, will be at their opening tomorrow as well. So
it's keeping busy.
Yes, we're all over town. That's what we love
to
do.
The food park on O.C. Haley?
No, this one is, where is it? It's on Race Street, right
it's
by...
It's on the Chop. I'm not sure. I haven't been there yet.
It's our... Yeah, they had a soft opening last week or 2 weeks ago, and grand opening tomorrow. We'll see how that goes. So.
Cool. And tell us, we got about a minute left, you guys, before we have to take a break. Kevin, tell us where we can find you online, Facebook, website, that good stuff.
Sure. So our website is crepecaterer.com. I know it's a mouthful, but it's CrepeCaterer, and you'll find where the truck's going to be, where our location is, and where we'll be out and about. And got all our social media information on there that you can follow us.
Excellent. And Erica, I know we did this in the previous segment.
Say it again. Diva Dog Truck. That's the website is Diva Dog Truck. All social media pages are Diva Dog Truck, and dog is spelled with a D-A-W-G.
Awesome.
So, yeah.
Find her. Eat this weenie. It's amazing. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Find them both. Right. This was a good segment.
I just want to do this.
All right, you do that. Hey, friends, we're going to take a little break here on the NOLA Drink Show. Two Dummies Food Tour. Come on back.
Hi, this is Kevin Richards with Sazerac Rye Whiskey. In 2008, the Louisiana legislature made the Sazerac cocktail the official cocktail of New Orleans, affirming what New Orleanians had known for over 150 years. You just can't beat a good Sazerac. The Sazerac cocktail is the quintessential New Orleans drink, perfect for celebrating the arrival of fall festivals, football season, or just being proud to be a New Orleanian. For the official recipe, visit www.sazerac.com.
Hi, Jack Jelenko here, local wine guy, suggesting that great handcrafted Pinot Noir from Oregon doesn't need to be expensive. Consider Yamhill Valley Vineyard Estate Pinot Noir from the oldest family estate in the Willamette Valley of Oregon. It's rich, ripe, wonderfully balanced, and it's only about $20 at your favorite New Orleans wine shop. Yamhill Valley Vineyard. Top quality doesn't need to be expensive if you know what to drink. Ask for it wherever you buy wine. Cheers.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Brian Diaz here with you, WGSO 990 AM in New Orleans and in podcast land, wherever you may be. It's the Two Dummies Food Tour with Adrian Miller, my fellow dummy in all of this. How are you?
Super happy right now.
Super
happy. And
getting
happier. There's a snowball and there's a quesadilla in front of me, and I want to make love to all the things. I'm really excited.
Well, we're pleased to be joined by Nate Baez. And Nate, you're with the Quesadilla Company.
Yes, sir. How you guys doing?
We're doing good, man. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for bringing a box over. Appreciate that. And Valerie Roseman, as well as Claude Roseman from Valerie Snowballs. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, sir.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for joining us today. So, Nate, let me start with you, since we'll go this route. Because we have a snowball, we got to eat it before it melts, but that's dessert, so we got a quesadilla. So let's start with the quesadilla.
I'm definitely okay. You have a lot to live up to. He is from San Diego.
No, okay. I'm from Bay Area. But I live
Bay
in San
Area.
Diego. Yeah, yeah.
Knows Mexican food very well.
Okay.
I'm black and Mexican. My family's from Durango, Mexico.
Okay.
So we're going to judge you super hard.
We're not that way. Go ahead, Nate.
I am.
The owner of the truck is actually from Texas.
Okay.
So that's where he brought the idea from. It's Tex-Mex, so...
Dope.
I mean, it's good.
Yeah, tell us a little bit. Tell us a little bit, Quesadilla Company, and tell us a little bit. We have a shrimp quesadilla here, right?
Yes, it's a grilled shrimp quesadilla.
Awesome.
For Lent. We brought it out for Lent.
Okay, perfect. How long's the truck been around?
He started building it in August. Well, July, and finished it by August. He actually built the truck himself. And he's been out since early September. So we've been about a couple months.
So pretty recently then. Mm-hmm. So how are things going?
Good. Can't complain.
Awesome.
Going really, really good. The people are taking to it. Something new. They don't have it in New Orleans, so.
Sure.
It's pretty good.
Great, Nate. Well, and Valerie, tell us a little bit about your operation there with the snowballs.
We've been in business for maybe a year now. I was waiting for my husband to retire so he could drive it and I could boss him around even more. But we have like 30 different flavors. We have like 6 different cream flavors. And we also have the sugar-free, which I find that a lot of the people who have kids, they always buy sugar-free for the kids. They don't give them like the real sugary stuff. So we keep a lot of that on hand as well. And we are reasonably priced. And we also do like event functions for corporate events and stuff like that.
Okay.
And all we need is a day's notice.
Okay.
Because if we're not out doing snowballs, then he's on a sofa watching TV. So
right.
I prefer being out doing snowballs.
Doing something, being productive,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, so
and snowballs are not the only thing we do. We can do like pizza, hot dogs, or whatever. We just need a day's notice, that's all.
Gotcha. So tell us, I'll ask both of you this question. Where are you all typically? We'll start with you, Nate. Where do you guys, where can we find the truck usually?
We do lunch by Loyola on in front of the Energy Center or the Entergy Center.
Okay.
They can also find us on Tulane in front of the Tulane Medical Center and the LSU Medical Center.
Gotcha.
Those are our three normal Monday through Friday. And then we also do catering.
Okay.
We do private parties. We do events such as this one. And I mean, we have, I want to say, about 20 different quesadillas. We do nachos. We do bowls. We have vegetarian stuff. We're trying to do a lot of vegan stuff now.
Okay.
So, I mean, trying to, you know.
Make everybody happy?
Yeah. Everybody happy, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that quesadilla was really good.
Thank you.
I wasn't mad at it. I want to throw it on the ground. It was really good. I like the flavor. The flavor was, is there sausage in there as well?
No.
No.
No sausage
at
all.
What is that then? Was it a seasoning? Because it was really good.
If I tell you.
No, that's fine. You don't have to tell me.
You know what happens.
The
it's the seasoning.
The seasoning.
It's the seasoning.
I'm really not a big fan of shrimp anymore. I don't know what it is. Since I moved back home, I'm like, I don't want to eat shrimp. I just want to eat crab. But I would eat that again and again and again and again. That was
Thank you. Really good.
It's really, really good.
Thank you.
So, Valerie, what flavor snowball did you bring us? I know you said, and I didn't.
That's a strawberry. And we make our own syrup and stuff like that.
What?
As opposed to
get right up in the micro, Valerie. There you go.
Yep. Yeah, as opposed to buying it or whatever. But we do it at a commissary, get all our deliveries and stuff like that. And nobody, never had a complaint.
No, it's beautiful.
Yeah,
it's really,
never had a complaint.
Really good.
Yeah.
What kind of preparation goes into making the syrups? I mean, because you have a bunch of flavors, right?
Yeah, I have a bunch of flavors. It's sugar and water. You have to get your water the right temperature to melt that sugar. And the consistency that you have to look for, it's got to be like it's reduced or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's really not.
Okay.
Do you use a 2-to-1 ratio where you do a rich simple?
Well, I'm not going to tell you that, just like he's not going
to
tell you about
crazy.
I'm
crazy.
Doing
trying to get secrets.
First of all,
you're
not ask those invasive questions. Yeah. The only reason why I'm asking invasive questions, one, I'm a bartender, so I know very much about syrup.
That simple syrup?
Yes, that's why I'm asking.
Yeah.
Second of all, the seasoning is
all right,
because
then we're going to go with that, 2-to-1. Yeah, we're going to take it like that. Yeah, we're going to go with that.
It's not that I'm trying to steal secrets.
Uh-huh.
I have a very, very, very good palate.
I like to
eat.
This is all very true. Everything that you just said is all very, very, very
true.
No,
but that syrup, yours, like I said, I have diabetes, and I really appreciate when people have sugar-free stuff. It makes me so happy because I'm like, I can have it included.
Well, you're going to have to come over there and get a sugar-free because it's good.
Yeah.
It's
that,
good. And get a small one. Don't get a big one. Get a small one.
Because usually when I used to run the bar at Tubes Meadery, we would always go to Pandora's, and they have like, I think they had like a handful of sugar-free flavors, but they were good. They were decent, but they weren't as like dominant as I like to be. I like for it to taste like I'm eating real sugar at times. And that, I'm pretty sure with what you're doing right now, I know it's going to be damn good.
Yeah.
And I'm really excited.
And the stuff that we use doesn't have like the aspartame and stuff.
Yeah.
People say it has an aftertaste or whatever. So we use something else.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys, since you're both, well, you've been around for a little while, Valerie, and then you guys are pretty new, Nate. What's it like being part of the Food Truck Coalition? Have you guys found that to be really beneficial?
Well, I just joined, and I'm really excited about it. I think it's going to bring in, you know, a lot more business and stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah, we've been waiting to get into it. They told us by March, so we actually just joined also. We're looking forward to this and other events they have, so we're also excited.
Cool. Mm-hmm. This is a great event. You guys, this is what, the second or third one that's gone on out here at Champion Square?
I think
Square?
It's the third one, but this is our first one this year.
Yeah, this is also
we
our first.
We did several last year.
Okay. And do you guys go out and do the stuff in Gretna and Tarrytown and all that?
We just did the Gretna Food Truck Fest they had, yeah.
I didn't do that. I was in Slidell doing a carpet event.
Okay.
Awesome.
Gotcha. Further thoughts there, Adrian?
I want to know what's your most popular flavor?
Strawberry.
Strawberry.
Second and wedding cake.
Wedding cake. I was waiting for it. So what is the craziest combination of flavors anybody's ever asked you for?
Probably pineapple and like blackberry, which I don't understand. Yeah. And then they want the condensed milk on it.
No, that sounds, I would get that. I'm not kidding.
Yeah, I'm Puerto Rican, so it sounds like something I would just pick up on a tree and put together. Yeah.
I love
pineapple and blackberries go so well together. Yeah. It's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. You need to come see us. We have a barbecue pineapple and jalapeno quesadilla. You'll like that.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I'm coming over there too.
Yeah.
We'll take care of you.
You guys can do the trade thing, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, all the trucks. We always do that. We're good for that.
Yeah. Well, you guys, we got about a minute left before we got to close out the segment. Valerie, tell us where people can find information about you, like your website or Facebook.
The website is CreoleSnow@yahoo.com.
Okay.
I've got some pictures out there and stuff. And you can give me a call at 985-285-4696.
Excellent. And Nate, what about you guys? Where do we find you?
We're all over. Same handle. It's thequesadillacompany.com. Same thing on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Perfect.
Our phone number is 504-343-7937.
I'm impressed with your vision that you can see that far all the way over the truck. I had no chance of being able to do that whatsoever. That was great. So, friends, we're going to take a little break here on the show. Valerie, thanks so much for being here. I appreciate
it.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for all the deliciousness, too. Yes?
Yes.
All right.
Silver approval and everything.
There we go. We're going to take a little break here on the NOLA Drink Show, friends. Come on back.
Neighbor Charles sits on the dock drinking a Dixie beer. Telling stories to his dog that he scratches behind the ear. Rocking back and forth to his transistor radio. Call up Dr. Daniel and say, play Fats Domino.
Looking for a bottle of wine to impress your friends and family? Miro Cellars from California's Russian River Valley is the perfect wine for any occasion. Miro Cellars searches the region for the finest grapes to make their one-of-a-kind specialty wines. Award-winning winemaker Miro Chelikov considers the particular geology and seasonal climate of each vineyard when selecting the most interesting grapes the region has to offer. Because Miro has complete freedom to make precisely the wines he loves best, the results are spectacular. Let yourself in on one of the best-kept secrets in wine today, Miro Cellars.
Hi, New Orleans. It's Laura from Sobu, and I'm here with Chef Juan Carlos.
Sobu's got happier hour. It's 3 to 6 from 3 to 6.
It's bar bars, sips, and snacks, all for $3 to $6 from 3 to 6 p.m. every day.
Laura's got something to please everyone at the bar for happier hour, all for 3 to 6 here at Sobu.
And we know you'll want to try a smoky pulled pork taco or any of the other delicious snacks on our happier hour menu.
Sobu's happier hour every day from 3 to 6, 310 Charter Street in the quarter.
Complimentary parking next door at the W Hotel.
Goodbye, Joe. All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Brian Diaz here with the WGSO 990 AM in New Orleans and in podcast land, wherever you may be. We are here. It's the Two Dummies Food Tour, and the other dummy is with me. Adrian, how are you?
You still hanging in there?
Duh. First of all, you know, I have Underberg in my purse. I'm ready for life.
You're okay. Ready? Okay, very nice. Yeah, very nice. Now, we took a break after the last segment with Nate Baez from the Quesadilla Company, it's like kryptonite or something. He said the magic word. He's telling all the food that he has, and then he goes, and we have elotes. It was almost like a setup, and I thought you were going to fall over.
First of all, don't tell people my secret, my kryptonites.
Yes, that is elotes. You will be won over with elotes.
Oh,
I know that
God.
Much.
That's my thing. And also staring at this delicious chicken sandwich.
Yeah,
right now,
no
good.
Doubt. So we got Stephen Mayer who's here with us from Bona Fried. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. Thank y'all for having me.
Oh, man, my pleasure. My pleasure. So, that is one delicious looking chicken sandwich right there.
It's a ridiculous, heavy-handed, gigantic pile of chicken with like honey and spicy chili oil and pickles. Yeah.
Pickles.
It's a wonderful thing.
I used to not like pickles and chicken, and then one day I had... So they accidentally put... I was working at McDonald's, and they put pickles on my spicy chicken sandwich, and I was like, oh, I get it now.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So now I'm kind of... Except I just hate bread and butter pickles, because those things are gross.
Yeah.
You have to, like, give a full-scale warning to people.
Yeah.
If you're using bread and butter pickles.
As a Southerner, I'm, like, probably one of the few Southerners where I'm just like... Because bread and butter pickles are big in Mobile. Like,
yeah,
huge.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like... Don't give me that. That's gross.
I love it, but we don't use it on the truck just because people are so polarized on them.
It elicits, as we're seeing here, right? Yeah. It elicits very strong responses. Well, Stephen, tell us a little bit about your about Bona Fried. Tell us about your background.
My background, I worked a lot in kitchens when I was a teenager. I worked in like Acme Oyster House as a prep cook. I worked in a bakery in a Robert supermarket.
Oh, yeah.
I worked at Krispy Kreme Donuts. I worked my first.
Are you married?
I am married. Yes, my wife is running the truck right now
that
while
is,
I'm here.
That's my favorite word when somebody says I worked at Krispy Kreme.
Oh yeah,
I just want to smell you.
Oh,
I know it's still there somewhere.
I have a long history of like frying things.
That's fine. That's definitely okay.
But then after college, I worked in commercial property management as a stationary engineer.
Oh, that's
for
a switch.
Large HVAC systems for 12 years.
Most of what you just said, I have no idea.
Yeah,
but go ahead.
Those are really big words. You're fancy.
I'm the guy who makes sure your office is like 68 degrees in August.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
And like roasting hot in January. and I had like a midlife crisis. And I thought my wife and I were at this crossroads where we either wanted to start a family or start a business. And we figured starting a family with a business is easier than starting a business with small children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we went for it, and I took my 401k out back and like old Yeller and just
shot it,
put it down. And we drove to Houston, Texas, right after Hostess went bankrupt.
Yeah.
There was a guy selling these giant step vans off for just like
dirt cheap,
like $4,000 a pop.
Wow.
So we went all the way out there, and I didn't realize that I would have to drive this thing back. So I drove it back on I-10 at 55 miles an hour from North Houston. And it was like, it was this fear and loathing nightmare.
Right.
Like middle of the night. It took 5 hours to get there, and it took me 11 and a half hours to drive it home to New Orleans.
Oh, man.
Wait, was the truck in pretty good shape?
It was fine, but it was full of, it had like 3,000 pounds of steel racks for holding Wonder Bread and Hostess products.
Yes.
And it was deafeningly loud. I didn't bring any hearing protection. I had to take 2 cigarette filters from my brother's cigarettes and stuff them in my ear just to not go deaf on the drive home. West Baton Rouge is like 50% human beings, 50% deer.
There's just, how many deer did you hit?
None. But there are like small cities of deer on the side of I-10. Just looking at you grazing, they like this like mutual destruction look in each other's eyes of like, please don't jump in the road. It was like a scary like toss you into the deep end moment just to get the truck. And then we built it for a year in our driveway.
Yeah, just putting the kitchen in and
doing
everything.
Doing pop-ups to test menu items and slowly building the kitchen up. Thankfully, that job that I had a number of mechanical shops. So I was able to, anything I needed, my employers over at Equity Office Properties at Lakeway, my bosses like Jody and Wendell, were the most generous, wonderful people. They let me anything I needed, and they let me borrow any tool.
They got free chicken for
life. Yeah, basically. Yeah, if they ever come to the truck, they can just have whatever they want.
Yeah. So, Steven, tell us a little bit about the menu. What do you guys do?
The menu is all fried chicken sandwiches.
Okay.
We do the Southern, which is just like honey drizzle, lightly spiced with Louisiana hot sauce and pickles. We do a Tennessee hot, which is like our ripoff version of Nashville hot chicken.
Yeah.
We make a fully vegan chili oil with soybean oil, cayenne pepper, smoked paprika, garlic, onion, and a little bit of vinegar, and salt. And it makes this insanely spicy chicken sandwich. And then this thing we have here is the special, which is what people were requesting the most of, which was just mix the honey sauce with the Tennessee hot sauce. That's all people wanted.
Yeah.
It's like 40% of our sales.
Nice.
Really?
It's just people, that's all anyone really wants. They just want to mix sauces together.
That's
what makes
true.
People happy.
I have condiments constantly in my car or purse.
Yeah.
If you look in my purse right now, there's buffalo hot sauce from McDonald's.
Oh, yeah.
Because I always, I'm like, I need a 10-piece with 16 hot sauces. And they're like, what? I'm like, just give me 16
Just give me the hot sauces. Just yeah.
Give
that's,
to
that's
me.
How I feel about Arby's horsey sauce. I'm like, just give me as much
Why
as
are you
you're
married?
Allowed.
You're my soulmate. Horsey sauce, like you have to leave with a bag full of horsey sauce and Arby's sauce and combine them together on your Arby's sandwich and then dip it in jus.
The two of them together plus the neon orange melted cheese.
That's
a happy combination.
I don't do the cheese. You have to do it with the horsey sauce, the jus, and the Arby sauce, and just dip it.
That also sounds good.
And make a baby in your mouth.
I had no idea that we were going to go down the road of navigating Arby's protocol. That's interesting.
I admire their operation.
I can tell you both do. How long have you guys been around, man?
We have been a truck. This is our third year in the truck. We had that 1 year where we were building the truck and we were doing pop-ups around town, which was really hard to do a fried chicken pop-up because you have to lug. We would go to like Academy Sports and get outdoor fryers, and that's just like a dangerous thing to have. Because once you're done with your pop-up, you have to sit there for like an hour and a half waiting for the oil to get cool enough to to package it back up
and take
it
home.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, get in there, have a bite. It's delicious.
It's probably like covered in honey now on the bottom. Mm. Yeah.
Absolutely delicious. So where can people, where are you typically? Where do you guys have truck?
Typically we do kind of a mixed bag of lunches. It varies week to week, but it's usually Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday between Tulane Medical and LSU Medical.
Okay.
Both right off of Tulane Avenue. It really comes down to like parking.
Sure.
We usually do Tuesdays now at LSU and Thursdays now at Tulane. And some days we do an extra shift on a Wednesday.
Okay. Steven, do me a favor because we've got about 45 seconds.
Gotcha.
Left. Tell people where they can find you online.
Online. Everything is at Bonafide Truck. Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. Everything is at Bonafide Truck, one word.
Awesome. Thanks, man. I really appreciate it.
Thank you all for having me.
Your thoughts? Yes?
Yes! Huge smile on my face.
Good.
Love it.
Good, good, good.
I'm not going to lie. For once, I want it to be a little bit more sweeter.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Like the spice is delicious.
It's so good.
It's spicy.
That's really, I love spice. That's phenomenal.
Yeah. Some people get a little extra cup of honey on
that's
the side.
Really good.
Now, there you go. Friends, be sure to check out Bonafide. Adrian, thanks. Two Dummies Food Tour again.
Two Dummies, yes.
We'll be doing it again soon.
Yes.
Join us for our next food adventure. Any closing thoughts? 10 seconds.
This needs to be a thing every day. This is amazing.
That's right. We'll lobby for that.
We'll have
a conversation.
Yeah.
Thanks to the New Orleans Food Truck Coalition and Live Nation for having us out here. It's been a great time, friends. We'll be back next week with another show. So until then, be kind to one another. Use your turn signal. Cheers, y'all.